You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
And the Mire, Friday, October 31st, 2008. God will show His mercy forever and ever to those who worship and serve Him. Luke 1:50. For 33 years, He would feel everything you and I have ever felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He was afraid of failure. He was susceptible to wooing women. He got colds, burped, and had body odor. His feelings got hurt. To think of Jesus in such a light is, well, it seems almost irreverent, doesn't it? It's not something we like to do. It's uncomfortable. It is much easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation. Clean the manure from around the manger. Wipe the sweat out of His eyes. Pretend He never snored or blew His nose or hit His thumb with a hammer. He's easier to stomach that way. There is something about keeping Him divine that keeps Him distant, packaged, predictable. But don't do it, friend. For heaven's sake, don't do it. Let Him be as human as He intended to be. Let Him into the muck and mire of our world. For only if we let Him in can He pull us out. Well, good afternoon, traders. Welcome to a special edition of Prosperity for God's People. Quick look at the numbers. Dow up 101 points on the session. Looks like the S&P is up 11 and a quarter, and the comp is up 13. I say a special edition. Today, we are talking to Doug Gekel, trader, mentor, Christian brother. Stay with me while we connect. Good afternoon, Doug. You are live on CFRN.
Excellent.
How are you today?
Excellent.
You're an excellent guy. Hey, it's good to have you back with us. It's been a few weeks. It dawned on me yesterday. I had one of your articles still unpublished. I wanted to get it published and put up on the blog, and I thought, you know, let's go ahead and do our interview today, and I'll publish the podcast and the article at the same time for the benefit of the listeners and readers. So I appreciate you taking time to come on today. Just prior to calling you, I opened up my email, and one of our faithful listeners, Jim Borsham, had just sent an email that says, "Hey, Dwayne and Doug, just sharing a thank you for the past interviews and articles on the blog. Hopefully there'll be some more coming up soon. They have been excellent and good material that helps out all traders. Much appreciated, Jim." Jim, thank you for that email, and Doug, thank you for the articles and for the interviews. I've gotten many positive emails. I just thought it interesting how that email came in just moments before the show started.
It's the way God works.
Isn't it? He's in control. He is the master conductor.
Yeah, He is.
He really is. Now, This last article that you've written, which I apologize to our readers and listeners that I was delayed in putting it on the blog. It got put into one of the stacks where, well, I'm sure everyone has some of those stacks, and I won't make any more excuses. But it's called How to Turn a Loss into a Lesson. In fact, when you mentor students, when you teach people to become traders, when you give them that life skill, you don't talk about losses, really, do you?
No, I don't talk about losses. The only loss is the one that's if you accept something to be in a loss, but I look at it as a lesson. And when I trade, everything that I do is a lesson, so I'm always learning for the next thing. I'm always preparing for something different. There's going to be challenges in our life at all times, and as long as we walk in faith and know that God's in control and that we're going to move into a different area, He prepares us for new things in our lives. So as I look at trading, I look at it as He's always preparing me for something new. And it's my job in order to, when a trade goes against me and I financially pay for that trade, well, then I look at that as I'm paying a teacher for a lesson, and then it's my job to extract the information from the lesson, because all teachers can get in front of people and deliver information, but it's whether we soak it in, whether we take the notes, whether we notice the things, whether we hear the things they say. That's up to us as a student to extract the information from the teacher. And so I look at the market as teaching us every day, and it's my job to extract some information out of it, no matter if it pays me to extract the information or if I pay it to extract the information. So I look at the lesson.
Doug, do you have any more volume on your mic there?
Yeah, this phone's always down. Yeah, I'll make sure I speak right into the mic.
There you go. Boy, that sounds good.
Okay.
You know, when I first started trading, dealing with those losses was just... here's the thing. I had some people that, you know, gave me some information and helped me learn how to trade. Nothing like what I've learned in your class so far. And for those of you who've been following the blog and following this radio program, know that I am being mentored by Doug right now in his 3-month class. I was taught some things about, you know, how to find a setup and how to get into a trade. And I was told, you know, that losses would come, and don't worry about them, just get on to the next trade. But I've got to tell you, they really rattled me. They rattled me to the point where it put me in a downward spiral, because I would begin, I have a friend, a very talented trader, he calls it Mad Hatter trading, where you become angry at the market and you're not even thinking clearly anymore. It's kind of like, back in a previous lifetime, it seems, I had a friend I used to go to the racetrack with quite a bit, and I was not big on the races. I went with him just as a friend, but he was really quite important to him, and I didn't really know how to handicap these races. I understood a little bit, and I would see him selecting a dog or a horse that had lost the last 3 in a row, and I'd say, George, you know, that dog did lose the last 3 races. I'm curious why you selected him. And his answer would be, well, he's due. He's due? Yeah, he's due to win. He was a good dog once. And I go, okay. Now, you go early on in the game, when you're just trying to wrap your mind around this whole trading thing, you take a couple losses in a row, this little voice would come into my head and say, man, you're due. Just pull the trigger. The law of averages say that you're going to hit this next one no matter if you go long or go short. That was very faulty thinking. That cost me, it cost me money, and I took no lesson from it. That was the biggest problem. I just went home feeling miserable, down and out, a failure. And that really, it made it tough. It really did. And that's why I have a lot of respect for what I hear you teaching the other students, in particular the ones who have never traded. Because I'm seeing the possibility here, or maybe the probability, that they, because of the way that you're teaching them, step by step, not putting the, you know, cart before the horse, that they may never have to experience any of the anguish and grief that I went through. And I think that's huge.
Yeah, it's a huge, like you said, you get into a cycle, and I call it like a success cycle or unsuccess cycle. It can go whichever way, whichever way you spin it, basically. And what it does is like a success cycle works its way up, where you have possibilities, and then you get results from those possibilities, and then that's going to form your next possibilities. And for your ideas, you move up. So as you have success, you're like, oh, I can do, instead of just trading one contract, now I can trade two. Instead of trading two contracts, now I can trade three. So you start working your way up. And the same thing on a loss. What we do is, a lot of times people will start to work their way down, where they'll see 5 point, maybe, you know, 20 tick trades, but yet then they start ending them at four ticks, because they're just frantic, and they want to try to bring something back, but then they'll go right to the next trade and lose 4 points, so that they'll start working themselves down, because then they're like, oh, I'm not worth it. What was I doing? I ended that trade wrong. Potentially they were telling themselves, and then this one I held too long. And so then they start working themselves downward. So then instead of building their confidence and coming to the market with more certainty and more confidence, and at least the same certainty and the same confidence they started with, what they do is they get less. And so then as they get less and less certainty, they start to their probabilities from their trades start to get, they get less and less certainty in those. So they'll end them quick. Then they might get into hoping and praying, and then letting some losses run too long. And so then they start changing all their rules mid-game, trying to make things back, when the true history is that it's already gone, and there's no way we can make back for things. We can make new money and make new trades, but we can't go back and make back money that we had before. That money's gone. Someone else is having lunch on it, and hopefully they're having a good lunch, and now we need to move on. We pay for our lesson. We need to extract the information the market gave us, look into it deeply, take your journal and say, okay, what did I learn from this? I always recommend, when you have a trade, that you pay for a lesson, that you immediately journal it, so you don't make that lesson again in the same day. Because I know in my past, what I would do is I would find, before I journaled, that I'd make the same mistake over and over again. And I'd be like, what am I doing? I just did the exact same thing. Well, your brain's saying, hey, that looks familiar. Let's do that again. It doesn't associate the pain or pleasure. Your brain says, that's familiar. I know that. Let's do that. So then you do that again, and what happens is then you end up with the same place you were before. So what I always recommend is, when they take a lesson, they pay for a lesson, they take that lesson and then extract the information right away, and take a break, soak on it, and then come back to the market. If they're able to come back with a clean mind, and if they're not able to come back with a clean mind, come back tomorrow. It's better than running yourself into that circle and having 30, 40, 50 trades and, you know, ending up, you know, a little bit down. It's not really about the money. The money will come if we keep our certainty, confidence, and we keep our probabilities, because the probabilities say that typically on a 75% trade, that 25% of the times you are going to do absolutely everything right, and the market's going to move the opposite way. So you're going to follow your system 100%, yet the market's going to do something different. It doesn't have anything to do with whether you're a success or where you're a failure. That just has to do with a probability. It's a number game. Okay, so that was one of those times. If sometimes the lesson I learned is that was just one of those times. But it's a lesson, and I realize, okay, I don't feel like a loser because I know it's a probability. I don't let that dwell in me or live in me, because I tell in the class a lot of times, it's like king of the mountain in your mind. If loser's on top, well, then we can't be a winner. So we got to make sure we push that off, and we keep that winner certain confidence learning. As long as I'm learning, I'm winning. Only time I'll lose is if I ever give up, which I will never give up, because I can continue to go. So I will never set myself up for loss or failure.
You know, something you just said there, you know, set off a light bulb in my mind. The past, 10 years, a vast majority of my time has been dedicated to counseling those who are recovering from alcohol and drugs, those who are fresh out of prison, those who are struggling with life issues in general. And during our counseling sessions, many times I would hear them say, I don't understand why this, whatever this might be, I don't understand why this keeps happening to me. And I now remember so clearly that one of the questions I would put to them is, okay, the last time that happened to you, what did you learn from it? what do you mean, what did I learn from it? I don't know. I didn't learn anything. I just know that it keeps happening to me over and over and over. And my answer to them used to be, you will be forced to repeat. I said, God is trying to show you something here, and you will be forced to repeat that class over and over and over until you learn the lesson, and then you'll be allowed to graduate and move to the next life class. Now, that was my standard, part of my standard counseling for many years, yet as I made this switch into, and I've not stopped doing that, but as I began to trade in the markets, I did not transfer my own teaching into the market. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is in that I would be, the market would be teaching me these lessons day in and day out, spanking my behind, if you will, but yet I wasn't learning anything. And that's critical.
Exactly. If we all go to class every day, in any classroom we've ever been in, yet we listen to an iPod, for instance, and don't listen to the teacher, we're in the presence of the class, but we're not going to get any better. So I say, like Michael Jordan, famous basketball player, I can go hang out at his house, but I'm not going to be a better basketball player because I'm in his presence.
Right.
You have to listen to him. I have to soak up, and I have to put a lot of hard work, but I have to learn each lesson. First would be like dribbling. I could dribble better with my mouth than I can in basketball. So, I mean, first it would be dribbling, and then he would move on from there, but it's my job to learn those lessons because he shouldn't teach me even how to shoot until I can bounce the ball up and down in control. So, and God does the same thing in our life, and the market does the same thing. It all works the same way. And where we have to learn one lesson prior, because God is wanting to prepare us for something new. Well, if we don't learn the lesson, we're not getting prepared, so he's not going to move us on to the next area. So if we, and by doing that, financially, what he does in the markets, if we don't learn a lesson from it, we're not financially prepared to go to the next level, whatever that next level might be. We're stuck at level one because we've never graduated level one because we haven't went into the market and said, oh, that's the trade that I take, and that is a double top that I keep taking in an upward trend market, and it keeps failing consistently. So until we learn that lesson that trade doesn't work exactly in the parameters we keep putting it in, will we ever move to the next level? Because we'll keep recognizing that, and then we'll run the insanity loop. We'll keep doing the same thing over and over again, and we'll expect a different result. But the quicker we move on from that, the quicker then we're able to promote ourselves as traders. And whether we even go into a second trade that may not be profitable, that doesn't matter. We've moved on. We've learned that one trade's not profitable in that area. So what area is it profitable in? Because the market does the same thing over and over and over again. And that's why you'll find yourself in a downward spiral, because it does do the same thing over and over again. So it allows us to do the same thing over and over again. So we'll trade once, and then we'll be like, that was just like that last trade I took. And what we'll do is then we just simply get into that cycle, that downward spinning cycle, where we have less confidence, we get poor results, we have less confidence, we get poor results, less confidence, and we keep moving our way down. And that's why it feels heavier and heavier, more and more challenging to get out of that. We just have to do is stop the cycle and stop it however, you know, whatever you have to do per your rules. You know, if you break a bunch of your rules, I have specific reasons. I stop trading here for one day, I stop trading for 2 days, I stop trading for 3 days until I assess and reassess the market in order to move forward.
Your volume trailed off on us just a little bit there.
Okay.
You know, that was another thing. Early on, as I began trading, and I'm not talking about investing, I'm talking about intraday trading, in particular in the futures market, I felt as if I always had to have a piece of the action, always needed to be in a trade. Praise God that I no longer deal with that emotion. I mean, if the market was moving, it was like I had to have a piece of it. I've learned now to be patient. I've learned to wait. I actually know now what my trade looks like. I know when it looks right. I know when it doesn't look right. And if, in fact, it fails, I realize that that was one of those times that the market simply did not go in the direction. And your method of teaching and teaching people high probability, helping them to develop their own high probability trades and then to backtest them and then to simulate them, allows an individual to actually arrive at a percentage number. Okay, this particular setup, given these particular conditions, will be profitable 75% of the time, or 70%, or 65% of the time, whatever the case might be for that particular trade. So now a trader has a measuring stick, if you will, because the trades are not predicated by emotion or by just pure gut feelings that, well, man, it really looks like the market's going up, so I better get in here. Because when you trade that way, you never really have that measuring stick. Now, if all your trades are successful and you make a ton of money, then God bless you and you're on your way and you don't even need to be listening to this interview or reading this article. But if you're one of us ordinary folk, it really makes a world of difference, because if a trade goes sour on me now, I don't immediately say, oh, man, you're no good at this trading thing. Because although I haven't completely fine-tuned it, and I know that I will by the time I complete your class, I still have a pretty good idea of when a trade failed because I did something wrong, I stepped outside of what I've defined as a high-probability trade, or if, in fact, this is just one of the times that, you know, the market didn't go in the direction that my trade anticipated it would go. And that in itself is huge, because I'm not afraid to take the next trade.
Exactly.
And even in the beginning, when I did really well before I began to do really not so well, I knew whenever I would have a winning trade, and although there was the elation and all the other things that new traders will experience, I also knew that there was a huge element of luck. Okay, you just got lucky. Now, you flipped a coin, you called heads, and it just so happens it landed on heads. Well, that gives you zero confidence to go into the next trade.
Exactly, yep.
And by the same token, you flip the coin, you call heads, and it shows up tails. Boy, now you really got no confidence to go into the next trade.
Yep. It has a question on your confidence, for sure. It can challenge it at times. The market can. Because most of us are successful at most things we do. If we said, I want you to go on the Internet, and I want you to find me eBay. I want you to find it in the web browser. Okay. A few minutes later, we've got eBay up. What do you want me to look up? I want you to look up car. So then pretty soon car, and we got red car, red Corvette. Pretty soon we got a red Corvette. And we can go through those steps and be successful at each one of them. Okay. We expect to. We expect to go through that and come to a successful result. Well, trading, a lot of times, if you don't accept the probabilities, you're going into it thinking you're going to find eBay, find the red Corvette right away. And when it doesn't, you're like, what did I just do? Do I know what I'm doing? Am I a loser? Am I not a winner? What's going on here? Because your expectation is to be able to do the things that we set forth to do. But with trading, when you accept the probabilities, you have done what you've expected to do. You've placed a trade, and it either went 75% your way and 25% the opposite, but you did exactly what you expected to do. So when you look at it from that standpoint, you have accomplished something. You've tested a probability. You've went into a probability. You've followed your system. You have done exactly what you set out to do. The market just chose to do something else, not you.
Yeah, I opened my web browser. I went to eBay. I typed in red Corvette under $17,000, and it just so happens that there are no red Corvettes for sale today for less than $17,000. I didn't do anything wrong. I followed all the proper steps,
right?
It's not there today, or in this trade.
Right, and that's exactly the way the trading is. But we need to accept that, hey, maybe the trade's not here. Maybe I'm not going to see it today. If you have only one trade and it only comes up two times a day, well, then there's high probability that some days you don't see it. Why? Because that's an average of two. So there might be some days when it's one, and maybe you weren't at the computer yet, or maybe it's going to happen after you're not going to be there, or maybe it's not going to happen at all today, because it's just it's numbers. It's a numbers game. so we have to go into it accepting that, and not that we're going to do anything wrong. We're just waiting for the bobber to go under so we can get the fish. And if it doesn't go under, well, we pack up our stuff. And because anyone that's probably ever been fishing has had a day where you catch either nothing or really next to nothing. But you still, it doesn't mean you're a loser fisherman. At least I don't ever think of myself that way. I'm just like, well, fish weren't biting today. We'll go out and do it again the next day. Because I used to do it when I was younger all the time. And it never made me stop doing the fishing if the fish weren't biting that day. And I look at trading the same way.
I want to talk about some comments that you made in this most recent article. If anyone tells you all their trades are profitable, run to the hills. I've read through many internet sites that have boasted that you can make millions, you'll never have any losses. Do it their way because it's the only way to trade successfully. And now for the big one, they have the one and only secret to the stock market. You know, when I began this whole journey, I used to stay up till 2, 3 in the morning. I would Google till my fingers bled almost, trying to hunt down that one indicator, that one new thing that was going to guarantee my success. And I got to tell you, friends, I have calluses on my fingertips. I never found it. Even today, I get emails. I open my email every morning. And because my email is out there on the internet, and because I'm affiliated with, you know, Futures Magazine and all different types of organizations, my email address has been sold so many times it's ridiculous. But some of the emails that I get on a daily basis, even now, with all of my experience of learning and dealing with the markets and trading and all this, I almost, because they write great ad copy. Folks, be careful. I mean, I almost get sucked in sometimes because they've got a chart that, you know, like, oh, wow, you know? And I've reached a point now, I don't allow myself the luxury or the pain, if you will, of I don't click the links, I don't read the emails, I delete them as they come in. And I'm telling you, they come in at a blinding pace. Everybody out there's got something to sell, and there is no one secret. There is no holy grail.
No, there's not. There's not a holy grail. I'm a firm believer in exactly what you say. People always ask me, you want to see something? You want to see this? And I'm always like, no, I've got everything I need. I don't need to see anything else. I feel I've got everything I need. And I believe most traders have everything they need, but they just need to focus. I have a friend of mine who, he's always looking for the next best thing. You know, he's still on that journey. And he's always, hey, you want me to send you this? I go, you can send it to me, but I'm probably not going to look at it because I've already got everything I need. And I go, and so do you, because I know he's a good trader. He just doesn't have the confidence in himself or stay focused on one system, because a lot of these systems that people advertise do actually work. What doesn't work is the person following the system. That's you sticking to a set of rules. The traders themselves following a dedicated set of rules and going in and learning that and mastering that one system. So a lot of them do work, you know, if the probabilities are there. But then it all comes to emotional management, and it comes to our dedication to following rules. So it's all put back on the end user, being us as traders, that we have to follow the system specifically. And a lot of times what we do is we want to modify the system. We want, you know, that's why Starbucks is successful, because you can make a coffee 4,200 different ways. So we're all unique. Well, in the market, we don't want to be unique. We want to be herds. We want to be herd animals, follow a specific set of rules, and follow the herd. We don't want to reach our variety in the market or a uniqueness in the market. We don't want to find that. What we want to do is just get with the herd, follow the herd, follow things that have been around for 10, 20, 30 years that have worked, that thousands of people are trading off of, and follow the herd with those things. And then you're going to be successful. But stick to one of the most important things to do is to stick to a specific set of rules. And as you have those, define them, stick to them, stick to them with your trades. As you do that, you're going to be turning, journal your trades, and as you do that, you're going to be turning losses into lessons. So you're never going to have any more losses. You're going to have a bunch of lessons, and as a lesson, you're going to become smarter, and as a smarter person, as a smarter trader, you're going to expect, your expectation to be like, your rewards are going to be there because I'm smarter now and I've learned more and I'm mastering this thing because every day I'm extracting information from it and it's giving me great feedback. It's whether we want to see the feedback or we want to hide it under the rug.
You know, I was obsessed with the fact that I needed to find some obscure, arcane type of thing that would give me the edge over everyone else. And that is a futile search, and I've learned this from you. What I really need to be doing is the exact same thing that other successful traders are doing. The things that are obvious. The movement on the chart, the pattern that's playing out before me, that, you know, 1,000 if not 10,000 traders are going to jump on the second this particular thing happens because it's so obvious. And that's following that herd, you know, being a part of the move and not trying to start your own movement.
Yeah, because when you're trying to start your own movement, you're actually trying to dictate the market. And the market, as we all know, will not be dictated by, you know, you or me or anybody really. So the market follows its own plan, and what we want to do is just jump aboard and go with everybody else. You know, when the market's moving upward, we want to find entries for upward. When the market's moving downward, we want to find entries for downward. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. You know, a lot of people, well, I'm able to be by myself and I'm trading, you know, and I don't have any responsibility, I don't have any accountability here because I'm by myself and I'm at home and, you know, I can do really what I want to do. And I think that sometimes will spill over into their decisions on when to take a trade and not to take a trade, when they should just be going, hey, here's where the herd's going, where is the train station that I get on? Because the market will slow down and all aboard and then take off again, and all aboard and then take off again. And I know it's a lot of people, they'll get that, some people will get into the herd mentality, but they'll wait till the train is flying by at 100 miles an hour and try to jump on board. What happens is they usually get hit. If once you start to master trading, you'll see that the market will slow down, and when it's slowing down, it's a little consolidation for a further move up or a further move down. And as it's doing that, it's giving us actually opportunities to enter or, you know, and exit the market at the train stations. And just go with the herd. Don't try to be unique. More people that are on our side as traders, better off, the higher our probabilities are, because there's more people going the same direction we are. So it's just, you know, the train's just going to get loaded up, they're going to add extra cars, and we're going to either go up or down. And the more people that are with us, the better chance we have for making money.
Yeah.
Especially with something as basic as patterns. With patterns, if there's necklines that are breaking and we're waiting for necklines to break and they fail or they hold, you know, or they break, whatever they do, if they do, you can have a lot of people with orders right below there getting ready to get in. So as this breakout might happen, what happens is as it breaks out, it's because everybody's just above or just below that area waiting. And as it breaks out, they're all getting on too, so it's going to speed up there.
Now folks, I really want you to carefully hear what we're saying right here, because this applies to me so much. I was thoroughly convinced, I want to say this again, that I needed to find the big secret. When in reality, what I needed to learn was what everybody else already knew. But no, I was convinced I needed the big secret. No, I needed to know what everyone else already knew. Now, go step back a year in time. If someone had mentioned to me a particular pattern or a neckline break, my first response would have been, oh man, that's so old school, get out of here. But folks, people have been turning these patterns and these specific movements into successful traders have been turning them into profits since the markets began, since technical analysis began. But yet here I was on a mission to outsmart them all. I'm going to tell you, it didn't work. I never managed to outsmart them all. Some of the earliest teachings of technical analysis still hold true today and still produce profitable trades today. And one of the reasons, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You've got so many people sitting out there waiting for this, and this to happen, and then everybody dives in. Okay. I don't have to swim upstream anymore. I can go with the flow.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. I mean, going riding down the river on the tube is a lot easier than swimming up against stream. And a lot of people want to be unique, and this is one area like we need to park our emotions, even our our reasons for wanting variety. Everyone wants variety in their life. We don't want to find that in the market. We don't want to be unique in the market. We want to follow just a herd mentality. Let somebody else go out and lead, and I'll be the third bull in line, and we'll all get there. We'll just walk on down there and get there. And the thing is, with that herd mentality, it's kind of contradictory to what a lot of people, especially males, alpha males, aren't used to, and it means they have a dominant sense about themselves. They're not used to following the herd, so they may be very good at entering and exits because they're very certain, their certainty's high. So they're like, I'm going to enter here, I'm going to exit there. Very good. But then their challenge therein might lie with the exact same thing that gets them in and out of the market easily, is not being able to follow other people and just say, hey, I'll follow this, I'll follow that. Because women, the ladies that I've had in the class, it seems that they're more receptive to that right off the bat, to following the market. So it's typically, and this is only in general, but it's typically that I find that they, because of their ability to follow and follow rules, that it's just a little bit simpler for them just in that one area of their trading.
Now, in this most recent article, you do go back to what is very much a theme for you, and that is I journal my trades. I write down all the setups, where and when I take a trade. If the trade does not result in a financial profit, I look back through that particular trade, and I figure out what I need to learn. If there was no conclusive reason, but I validate that my risk-reward ratios are accurate, I take it a step further. I review my trades that did not profit and analyze whether or not there is a theme that runs through all of those particular trades.
Exactly. The ability to do that is given to you by doing your journaling, because then what I'll do is on a monthly basis, I'll go back through. Now, this is, I review them on a monthly basis unless I have a recurring theme that I see come up several times in a row. If I have a trade that fails three times in a row, I shelf that trade, and I immediately look at my journal to see what can be happening different. In June or July, this had happened to me, and one of the trades that I'd been very successful, it had success with for over a month and a half, just kept clicking, and then it failed three times in a row. So what did I do? I'm like, that failed three times in a row, and that's very unique to this individual trade. So I said, let me test this and retest it. So I went back, retested it, looked at my journal from what happened before, and out of that lesson, what I was able to extract from the journal is I actually came up with a trade that showed me how that trade failed, which became another trade. So I took the information from the failures and actually created another trade. And I found out why the market had changed, and when I was taking it, it was different, and the market was consolidating flat across at that time in general. And I had been playing this in a downward overall trend. So I did pick unique things out of that one trade of what happened to it. But the more important thing was from that lesson, I got another trade, which then I've utilized many times since then. And I can actually watch the one trade and see if it's going to fail into the other trade. So I can sit and watch it and be like, oh, it's failing. If it comes right here, there's a high probability this is turning into that other trade. And so that's with your journal. If I didn't have that information, I wouldn't have been able to go back to it. I wouldn't have been able to realize these things, nor would have I had the aha moment that, hey, this fails the same way every time. And every time, here's my entry, and it fails right here. And so if I watch this, this, and this, then I'm able to see this failure and turn that failure into a profit. So that's what you're able to extract out of your journal. You're also able to extract what is, I've got rules on my, I found that when I go back, if I have any trade that fail, that they're not a probability, it's some rule that I've skipped, just simply. Even though I've been trading for a long time, I still miss some every once in a while. And I keep my trade book open here, my high probability trade book, and I'll go through, and I started reviewing those. But about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I reviewed it and found that, hey, when I have a trade that fails, it's not a probability, it's me not following one of the rules. So then from that, I posted it on my wall, And then I also kept my high probability trade book next to me, so as I'm going on these trades or getting prepared for them, because you can see them coming, I really refresh my memory on the trades just to make sure I'm not missing anything. And then I found that when I had a trade, my fourth trade was typically my give-back trade. So I'd have three successful, then on the fourth, it was like a cycle, would be my give-back trade for some reason. So I told myself, limit three trades. Okay, then take a break. Get away from here. Get out of here. So you've broken the cycle. And so from my journal, I was able to extract some of these information, and I just post it on my wall, and then I'll go back to my journal again, review it for the last month, see if there's anything unique I can pick out of that month, and then I type it in big 72 font things, and I post it on the wall. So then I know, at least I've extracted some information out of the lessons that maybe I didn't get right off the bat, but yet my journal told me that I should be getting them. And by just reviewing and being completely accountable to myself and being honest with myself, then I can review these things and see where I truly do stand.
You know, folks, I live in Arizona, and as you know, and we have no helmet law here. And I enjoy riding a motorcycle or scooter without a helmet. And I'm not saying that's a safe thing or anyone should do that. It's just what everyone in Arizona does. But don't trade without a helmet. I mean, rules. I came into the markets, I wanted to be that free spirit. I just wanted to kick back, look at the charts, click here, click there, get up, dust my hands off, and, you know, strut out. I love rules. I love them now. And I've always been a rule breaker, you know, in my life, just sort of my personality. But perhaps you can create too many rules for a particular trade, so you then get into paralysis by analysis kind of thing. But the more rules that I can bring into a trade to help me clarify if that is a high probability trade or not, I welcome them. And before, I did not. And that's making a huge difference for me.
Yeah, it does. The clarity, too, it brings in confidence. It does a lot of things with the high probability trades. And it makes it easier, too. A lot of people have a challenge if something sort of looks like their trade of not taking it or trying to modify the square peg to fit in the round hole on the fly when the trade's coming up. Where the high probability trades, as you put, I usually put 5 to 7 things that create the area, and a lot of them are they're working their way up to the trade. And then the entry bar, I look for 3 different areas for the entry, or 1 to 3 different things, how I want to see the specific entry bar or the bar before it and the bar after it. So I'll have just a few things that, you know, where I pick the entry bar. So then from there, then the exit, I only have 2 reasons to get out of the trade. I want a lot less to get out of the trade. But what I do is then I, with those things on my trade, with my high probability trade, when it comes up, I know right away if it's not my trade. I'll be like, oh, well, look, that didn't line up, so that's not my trade. So it gives me confidence that I can then move on. I had told this story about the hawk that I saw. I saw a hawk fly down on a mouse, and I shared this with the class. And the hawk had came down, because I look at us traders as eagles. The hawk had come down, and I watched it as I was driving by, and it, whatever the rodent was that was coming for, it stopped like a few feet off the ground and kind of hovered, but then took off and left. And I thought it was really relevant the way we're traders, the way we look at something. When we see, oh, that's not my trade, we should put on the brakes like that hawk and fly back away. Because God's going to provide another one. The hawk doesn't try to modify himself, turn into a dog at that point and change his plan and dig a hole and chase the mouse down the hole. That's not his plan. His plan is to come in stealth, grab the mouse or whatever it was and fly away and have dinner. But when that didn't happen, he doesn't beat himself up. You didn't see him kicking his feet on the ground.
I'm a lousy hawk.
Right, yeah. He doesn't try to turn himself into a dog and then change his whole plan. What he did is he just flies away, goes back to his perch, and goes right back to his plan. And as traders, I think that story is a great metaphor for how we have to just stick to our plan, learn our lessons from it. Now, the hawk might have learned that mouse moves down the left hole instead of the right hole. So now when he comes at him again, he might realize, where his angle of ascent is going to be. I don't know what he learned, but maybe he's going to learn how, if he changes the angle of his ascent, that he might be able to catch him next time. And that's what we need to do as we come at these trades, is learn something from these lessons that we're paying for. We're paying for these lessons. The markets, you're paying the market for these lessons. It's our job to learn something from them. And the market gives us the opportunity to do it, but it's our job to extract the information.
For those of you who may not actually be trading live at this point in time, perhaps you're still utilizing a simulator, I want to encourage you to journal those trades. Whether you're in a simulator or in a live market, whatever the case might be, you'll glean so much information at the end of the day. Because I remember back, there was a time when at the end of the day, I couldn't even remember how many trades I had taken, much less why I took a particular trade, why it failed, why it succeeded. In fact, I didn't know why it succeeded. I didn't know why it failed. It looked pretty good, so I pulled the trigger. At the end of the day, you've pulled the trigger 10 times, 12 times, 15 times, whatever the case might be. There's no way you're going to learn from that. You're flipping that coin. And flipping that coin, I mean, even if you're right 50% of the time, and even if you have a decent risk-to-reward ratio, eventually you're going to crater commissions and everything else. You're going to circle the drain. So I just agree with Doug. You know, journal, you know, write down why you took the trade. I mean, if you don't have a good reason, a solid reason for taking the trade, well, then I venture to say you shouldn't be taking the trade. I took so many trades in the early days that, hey, it just looked good. Here we go.
Right.
And folks, I'm going to just be honest. It cost me a lot of money, okay? Profit from my mistakes. You don't have to repeat it. I have a blueprint for how to do just about everything the wrong way. And I'm, you know, over the last few months, I've attempted to share a lot of those with you. And you're always welcome to email me, and I'll go more in depth if you're up against something or you got a question or, you know, you're just stressed out by it all. You know, there are people in this industry that do care about your success. I'm going to tell you, a lot of those internet sites you go to and a lot of those emails that you receive in your inbox every day, they're concerned about one thing and one thing only, and that's making a profit. Your success is not high on their priority list. Now, I'm not saying that's everyone. What I'm saying is there's a lot of those, and there's a few people that actually do care about you succeeding as a trader. I am one of them, because I am a trader doing my very best to succeed just as you are. Doug is one of them, and many of my other guests that are on the show each day, Greg, Mike Reed, and Michael Bork, all the different ones, those are people, they're on this radio show for a reason, because they are people that I know you can trust. David Williams is also one. I don't want to leave any names out and hurt anybody's feelings, but I don't bring people onto this radio program that I don't believe that you can trust. Now, in the closing part of your article here, Doug, you say it is essential that you have a mentor or a teacher to learn from. You made a comment in class the other day. You could hold a class for 3 days, teach people how to use some indicators, send them on their way. This is a 3-month class that I'm involved in. And it's really quite a commitment. It's a commitment not only on my part, but on Doug's part too. I mean, to be in close association with someone for 3 months, you know, 2 hours a day of class, homework at night, it takes a commitment. Now, it says, I've stressed that from day one, it is worth every dollar spent. This is Doug writing. Doug says, I have a mentor, and I continue to learn. How did you meet your mentor, Doug?
I met him through another friend of mine originally, and then just got to respecting him and realizing how good of a trader he was, and so by just learning from him. And I met him through another trader friend of mine from before, and just actually it was a God thing, because it just happened to be that he was a really, really good trader. You know, and sometimes you don't... I've never run into that anywhere else. That was a God intervention there.
How does that old saying go? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Doug goes on to say, my three-month class can take seasoned traders to a new level. My class can take new traders on a journey of possibilities. If you're interested in taking the class, you can contact Doug at doug@excglobal.com. For those of you that didn't have the opportunity to jot that down, don't worry. The article will be posted in its entirety on the blog at cfrn.net/blog. And then Doug goes on to say, and I really want you guys to hear this because this is the Christian Financial Radio Network. Doug says, it is a deep desire of mine to teach believers that there is a way to profit in this market. I trade a market where it does not matter whether or not the overall market is going up or down. I can teach you how to make money even in this market. Even if you don't take my class, I urge you to find a mentor or coach that can teach you how to be profitable. I do not recommend going it alone. Set yourself up for success. My last bit of advice is journal your trades. It is a vital part of trading. Any final comments, Doug?
No, I think the article is about journaling. Your lessons, you pay for them. Final comment is you pay for your lessons. Any other discipline that we've ever done in our life that we've went in and paid for a lesson, we've expected some information out of it. So you need to do the same, have the same expectation from the market every day, because it will teach you things. It'll teach you things that'll give you probabilities and possibilities to be profitable every day.
Folks, if you went to a local community college and you paid for a class on how to bake a cake, if at the end of that class you could not bake a cake, wouldn't you be a little upset? Wouldn't you be questioning, okay, how is it that I paid for these lessons, yet I still don't know how to bake a cake? And I know that some of you are sitting out there right now asking yourself that because you paid for some lessons and you still can't bake the cake. Well, doesn't mean the cake can't be baked. It can. The cake absolutely, positively can be baked. But you need someone who actually knows how to teach you to bake a cake, and then you have to be willing to commit yourself, your time, and your energy to learning how to bake the cake. Doug, thank you so much for being with us today.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Pleasure as always, and I'll see you in class this afternoon.
Excellent. Have an awesome afternoon. Bye-bye.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.